Sherry, John. Go back to 1 Kings 18. Let's read verses 21 through 24 again. 1 Kings 18. Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, lay it on a wood, put it no fire under it. I'll dress the other bullock, lay it on wood, put no fire under it. Call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire. Let him be God. Now, at the time of this story, Israel was a nation wholly given to idolatry, full of idolatry. Most of the people claimed to believe in God, that is, Jehovah, God of the Bible, God of Scripture, but they worshiped any and every god that they could imagine. God, small g. Baal is just another word for a false god. There were many gods. Baal, Peor, Baal this, Baal that. Balaam. And there were many of these false prophets, 850 altogether. 400 of them stayed behind. Elijah was one man facing 450 false prophets. Now that's subtle. The Lord said it. This man was one true prophet against 450. And because of the idolatry, that's why there were so many false prophets. That's why. And because of the idolatry, the judgment of God was upon that nation. Drought. They were under a drought. And because of a drought, there was a famine. No bread. That was the judgment of God. Drought, famine. And I remind you, Amos wrote of a famine. He said, "There shall come a time, a famine, not of bread, that is, physical bread to eat, but of the hearing of the word." And he said, you have to go a long way. You'll run to and fro everywhere to find it. And you won't find it. It's so scarce. Bread be so scarce. That's the day we live in. This isn't the only day it's been that way. But it's been that way from the beginning. See, things haven't changed. America, that fancies itself some kind of new Jerusalem or new Israel, is just like Israel of old. It's full of idolatry. And there are more false prophets than true ones. I was going to have you turn to 2 Kings, but this began with a fellow named Jeroboam. Jeroboam was set up as king. He wasn't even the son of Solomon. He was an illegitimate son. He wasn't even the son of Solomon. And he said, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem and worship. It's not convenient. We'll set up several places everybody can worship. So he made a calf and put it over here and a calf and put it over there and the people could conveniently. Does that sound right? That's what happened. And then, and it says in 2 Kings 17 that the people feared the Lord and worshiped their false gods. You can't do both. But they did. It was so messed up. And because of idolatry, there was wickedness was prevailed. Every sin and iniquity. That's Romans 6, or Romans 1. Romans 1. Because they turned away their ears from the truth, because they're not thankful, because they hold the truth in unrighteousness. He goes on to say, so God gave them over. And the land is full of idolatry and full of false prophets. Hirelings, full of them. But God, rich in mercy, sent a preacher. Our Lord said, these are gifts. These preachers are gifts. That man was a gift to me. He ascended on high. He gave gifts unto me. And he sent some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, pastors and teachers with a message. The message of salvation. The message that will turn people to God from their idols. It's the only thing that will. Please God by the foolishness of preaching. Simple men, just men. But by the Spirit of God and the power of God, this is how you'll know it's of God, because they're earthen vessels, and yet by the power and the Spirit of God, this message turns a man from idolatry to the living God. This is what God still uses. The only thing He uses. Elijah was a simple man sent to a people in trouble. Israel was in trouble with God. They were in trouble with God. But God in mercy sent this preacher named Elijah in the midst of their trouble. And when he came, look at verse 17. Ahab said to Elijah, art thou he that troubleth Israel? They accused Elijah of starting trouble. They accused Elijah of stirring up trouble. No. He's not stirring up trouble. He's just telling everybody of the trouble that they're in. See, this is the trouble. Paul one time said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yes. The natural man receiveth these things not. The man comes with the truth, and people accuse him of sedition and heresy and doctrines of devils and strange doctrines, preaching a strange God. Nobody believes a God like that. Well, that's who he is. And they accuse him of being a troublemaker. No, the fact is, God sent that man to get people out of trouble. We're already in trouble. And he's not a man like false prophets come telling people, no, there's no trouble. Peace, peace. That's what false prophets say. That's the first thing false prophets say. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Jesus died for you. Don't worry about a thing. You're not in trouble. That's not the message of the prophets or the apostles or true preachers. Not. None of them ever stood up before a public audience and said, God loves you. None of them. Not ever. Not one time. Not one time. False prophets did that. Peace, 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 peace. First thing men and women need to learn from God through a preacher is that we're in trouble with God. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord. So God sent. He's not a troublemaker. He said, no, verse 18, I haven't troubled Israel, but you're in trouble through this all idolatry that's going on. All this idolatry. Now listen to the question that Elijah asked the people. Verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, follow him. Nobody can answer. See, God is not answerable to men, nor are His prophets or His preachers answerable to men. They're not like these fellas today who sit and have share sessions, you know, so you can ask them so they can prove how smart they are and all. They're the ones presenting questions that nobody can ask, can answer. They're the ones presenting the questions. They're the ones confronting people with the questions. Questions nobody's asking, like, how can God be just and justifier? Nobody's asking that question, and nobody in this world can answer it except believers. How can he be clean that's born of a woman? How can God, who loves holiness and righteousness, love you? If righteousness come by the law, why did Christ die? I can't answer that. I can't answer these questions. Nobody's asking them, and nobody can answer them except God's people, according to Scripture. You see what I'm saying, Brother Henry? This jumped out at me. He's the one doing the questioning. He told young Timothy, don't answer all their foolish questions. Don't get involved in science, falsely so-called. Don't reason and rationale. Declare that. Read the article by Philpott. Declare it. And when you declare it, men will be shut up. And the ones that aren't, don't argue with potsherds. Right? You know, the Lord dealt with Pharisees and said things, and they wanted to argue with Him. He said, I'll answer you if you answer this. Remember that? He asked them one question, nobody could answer it, and then nobody asked Him any more questions. So, this is so. God does the asking, the demand. Tell me something. Elijah stood up and said, I'm going to ask you all a question. How long do you halt between two opinions? Is God God or is He not? If He is, why aren't you bowing to Him and worshiping? If He's not, then choose you a God. That's what Joshua said, and people use that verse, Ty, when they say choose God. That's not what Joshua said. In Joshua 24, he said, choose you a God, any God. Doesn't matter what God you choose. Just choose them all. Anything. He's not saying choose God, because a man can't choose God. Can't do it. God must choose us. And the choice is made. Blessed is the man who doubts you. I got to go on. Preacher demands answer from the people. How long halt ye between two opinions? You know, two opinions, all right? Here, these people say this is black, and these people say white. Well, what's between two opinions? Debbie, what's between two opinions? Gray. Well, there's a gray area there in Scripture. Where? The gray is this gray matter in your between your ears. That's where it is. That's the problem. Brother Scott, somebody said to Brother Scott years ago, you're confusing me. He said, no, I'm not. You're already confused. You're already confused. I'm not confusing you. Scripture's not confused. Very clear. That's what I love Proverbs 8. He says, it's all plain to him that understands it. If God's given you understanding, it's as clear as the nose on your face. It's black and it's white. Not gray. Paul said, our preaching unto you is not yea, yea, nay, nay, yea and nay, maybe, yes, if not. Does God love you? Well, yes and no. Did Christ pray for you and say, well, yes and no. No, it's yea and amen. All the promises of yea of God are yea and amen are in Christ Jesus. I'm sure, certain. God says, I will. You shall. Two opinions. Here it is. Who is God? Is God God or is man God? Can't be both. Is God God or is Satan God? Can't be both. God means absolute ruler and controller of all things. Capital G-O-D means absolute ruler and controller. Here's some of the stupid answers of these false prophets. I heard this. I read it with my ears in our Roanoke paper by a large mega church so-called pastor. He said, in conclusion, oh, how wise this is, he said, you control the one that controls you. That is so profound that I can't. It's so ridiculous is what it is. That's absurd. Even a child can understand that. If he controls you, how can you control him? That's ridiculous. Well, another fellow said this. He said, send in your seed faith. Send in your seed faith. And when you send in your seed faith, you untie God's hands. I heard that. God's hands are tied. Man, oh man, oh man. Does that make you mad? It's not only terribly blasphemous. Who is God? Is God God or is man? Huh? Whose hands are tied here? Who's bound here? God or man? Huh? Who's God? God or Satan? We find that out in Job 1, don't we? What does the Lord say? What does Scripture say? What does God say about Himself? I'm not interested in what man says about God. There's all sorts of opinions. Everybody's got one, like a certain part of their anatomy. Everybody's got one. And they'll show it eventually. Opinion. Two opinions. What saith the Scripture? Is Jesus Christ God, the head of the church, or is Pope Pinhead the fourth? Who's head overall? Who? What does the Scripture say? Here's what God said. See now, I am He. There is no God with me. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Isaiah 45 said. I kill. I make alive. Deuteronomy 32:39. Who's God? Who's not? God is God. Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord hath created all things for Himself, even the wicked for the day of evil. Satan is a creature. God is the creator. Who controls who? Creator or the creature? Huh? Okay. Is Jesus Christ God or not? Two opinions, aren't they? He said, if you believe not, John 8:24, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He told us, didn't he? Is He God? Very God of very God. The one that created all things. Holy, just. How long hold ye between two opinions? Whose will is free, God's or man's? Huh? Can't be both. Can't be both. Whose will is free, God's or man? What saith the Scripture? It's Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That's what Scripture said. Ephesians 1:19. Huh? Whose will is free, God or man? God. He said, I will. Ezekiel 33, over and over and over in Ezekiel 33, He says, I will. I will. I'll give you a new heart. I will do this. I will do that. I will do this. And He said, and you shall. Here's the difference between the God of the Bible and the false one. The God of the Bible says, I will and you shall. The false God and the preachers say, if you will, He shall. It's the other way around. Got the cart before the horse. Who controls who? Huh? Who controls who? Scripture says, the God in whose hands our breath is and all our ways. He even says the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, like the rivers of water turns it whithersoever He will. People of their false god, John, they said, here's our gods. They do what we let them do. They said to David, where's your God? David said, my God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He had pleased. That's God. That's the God who does as He will, with whom He will, because He will. That makes Him God. God is God, man is not. How long halt ye? Oh, my. Salvation. All right, is salvation by free will or free grace? Two opinions, isn't it? Huh? Free will or free grace? What saith the Scriptures? Says it not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy, doesn't it? If you will, whosoever will, yeah. But it says it is God that worketh in us both to will and do His good pleasure. Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. How long do people halt between two opinions? There's no gray area here, is there? Is man dead in sin or just sick? What happened in the garden? What really happened in the Garden of Eden? Did God mean it when He said, you'll die? Did He die? Did man die? Dead to God? No life of God? No spirit? No spirit? Can't get it? Can't drum it up? No matter what? Is he dead? Blind, halt, lame, deaf, dead? Or is he just sick?
Barnard used to say, he's dead, he's graveyard dead. Barnard used to say it all, he's graveyard dead. Meaning, can't see, can't hear. Somebody's got to give him life. What does the Scripture say? And you, hath he quickened who were what? Dead. Dead. If you don't halt between two opinions, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but the Father which is in heaven. Be thankful. Oh, how blessed. How long halt ye between? Did God choose the people or did the people choose God? Did God elect them or is he running for election? Huh? What saith the Scripture? There are no visitors here, but are you enjoying this? What does the Scripture say? He said, our Lord reminded his disciples, says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. According as he hath chosen us. Not us, him. He hath chosen us. Ephesians 1:4. Well, when did he do this choosing? Same verse. Before the foundation of the world. Why? Because we were good boys and girls? No. Even when we were dead. Why were we yet sinners? It pleased God. Just because it pleased God. Please God. That we might be to the praise of the glory of his sovereign electing grace. That's why. That's why. That's what the Scripture said. That's what God said. What does it matter what they say? Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd. Did Christ save his people or did he just try to? Did he come down here to make an attempt or an atonement? Huh? Did he make a down payment or did he pay it? I tell you, all our pieces right there. Scripture says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down right on the right hand of God, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Oh my. He shall call his name Jesus, but he shall save his people. He shall not fail, won't even be discouraged if he has brought judgment. Oh my. Is the Holy Spirit sovereign? Is the Holy Spirit sovereign? I mean invincible. Does as he will, as the Father, as the Son, does as he will, when he will, sent by the Father to round up his people, to bring them all out of darkness into light, out of death into light. Is he invincible or is he just someone that makes people talk like an idiot? He's a powerful Spirit of God, sent by God. Oh, thanks be unto God. Thank God, for God hath from the beginning chosen us unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That means rounding them up, quickening them, set them through belief of the truth, where he called us by the gospel. The Holy Spirit is sovereign, calls out everyone God chose, everyone Christ died for, and they will come. They will come. Is salvation of God, the salvation of God, eternal? Is it eternal or is it temporary? I give unto them, Christ said, eternal life. And they shall what? Never perish. How long halt ye between two opinions? That's a simple but profound questions, aren't they, that nobody's asking and people can't answer. Most folks, is your God, we need to ask them, is your God really God? If he's not, why are you worshiping him? Why do you need him? Here's the simple but powerful message, the challenge really, verse 23. Oh, this really jumped out at me. He said, give us two bullocks. And you cut them in pieces and dress it and put it on the wood, no fire. Call on the name of your gods. I'll call on the name of the Lord. The God, he said, and the God. Here's how we'll know who's God. This is how we'll know who's God. Are you with me? The God that answereth by fire. Let him be God. He's not saying, let him be God. Like men say, let go and let God think. That's not what That's not. Scripture says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." That doesn't mean you must let Him be true. It means He is. That means let it be known. Let it be established. Let it be acknowledged by all. Everyone needs to. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Not saying, "Would you accept it?" It means this is right. This is true. Let it be so. So let it be written. So let it be done. Let God. This is God. Whoever answers by fire, your God or the God, the Lord. He alone is God who answers by fire. I don't think I've ever properly dealt with this. But this is the sum and substance of this story. This is how you know the God of the Bible. Not just His sovereignty and all, but concerning this sacrifice consumed by fire. All right, you with me? What does the Scripture say? Hebrews 12:29, our God. Our God is what? A consuming fire. Holy, holy, holy. When God first revealed Himself to Moses, how did He reveal Himself? In a bush that burned. It was not consumed. Fire. The first time the word fire is mentioned is when God, fire fell from heaven on Sodom. Who did that? Holy God, who's angry. Not love, angry. It's holy. Our God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm not going to be long here. Luke chapter 12. The God we preach, the God of the Bible, the true God, answers by fire. You'll know Him by this fire. And we're not talking about this ridiculous Holy Ghost fire that they're talking about today. This pretended fire that men drum up, which is really their own sparks they've kindled. Our God is a consuming fire. Fire. There's some things about fire. Fire, number one, is there anything more fearful? Is there anything more fearful than fire? Anything more formidable? I don't know if you've ever been near a house fire or even a forest fire or a large matter kindled with fire. Have you? Anybody? I have. It is frightening. And you think it's just going to destroy everything. It's a fearful thing. Frightening thing. It's not fire is not something you play with. Fire is not something you play with. It's the thing to be feared. We teach our children from a young age, don't we? Not to play. Not even with those sparks. But what a great matter a little fire can kindle. And fire is not a thing to be played with. Our God is a consuming fire. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is what we instill in our young children, don't we? From the very beginning. We're not playing games here. God is not to be played with. Religion is not a thing to be toyed with. This is fire. Fire is a wonderful thing. Can't live without it. But it'll consume you if you play with it and mess with it. Fire is fearful. How do you know Holy Ghost fire? Men everywhere are talking about it, aren't they? What does Holy Ghost fire mean? What's the first thing He produces? Fear. And that's what tells me, when I see all this stuff going on in religion today, that's what tells me there's no, the Holy Ghost is not in all this, but I don't see it. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Are you with me? No fear. Fire is a fearful thing. Fear of the Lord. And when the fire falls, you start fearing God. When the Holy Ghost comes, you start fearing the Lord. It says in Acts 2, fear fell upon all of them. When the Holy Ghost came, fear fell upon all of them. Everybody whom God deals with. Fire is a fearful thing. Fire is a consuming thing. Everything is burned up, especially wood, hay, and stubble will be consumed, will be burnt up when fire comes.
When God Almighty reveals Himself, reveals the truth, and the Holy Spirit comes to the preaching of the gospel, it will burn up all of man's pride, all of man's beauty, all of man's glory, all of man's intellect, all of man's morality, all of man's works, his decisions, his baptisms, his idols, his props, his everything will be burned up. Wood, hay, and stubble, and the only thing that will show through is gold and silver and precious stone. Which is Christ. Fire. This bullock represents Christ and Him crucified. This is my body broken for you. They cut it up in pieces. All right, the false prophets had one. The true prophet had one. These people are preaching Jesus Christ crucified. We're preaching Jesus Christ crucified. How do you know? How do you know the difference? They got a bullock? We got a bullock. No. They say they have a lamb? We have a lamb. How do you know? Fire. In other words, if Christ is truly preached, if Christ is lifted up, if the Holy Spirit comes through the preaching of Christ crucified, if men see Christ and Him crucified, look to Him and Him alone, everything else will be destroyed. And Christ will be all. He is purifying. Fire is purifying. You want to destroy everything, be done with everything? Burn it up. And what you got left is pure faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's how you know. If a man's preaching Christ and Him crucified, that He bore the wrath of God, He was made sin for them, bore the wrath of God, kept the law for His people, that He is our righteousness, that God accepted the sacrifice, and now we live and move and have our being in Him, accepted in the Beloved, by His grace we're saved, by His faith we're saved, complete in Him, seated with Him, it's all in Him, by Him, for Him, through Him. If a man's preaching that, you won't have any of this other stuff. There won't be any of this wood, hay, and stubble. Are you with me? I keep saying that because I want to know if you're with me. look around you. Look at all the props. Look at all this stuff. Well, they're preaching Jesus. No, they're not. No, they're not. We preach Christ crucified, then you wouldn't have all this stuff. Have all this stuff. Pictures and crosses and this and that and the other and entertainment and all that. That's how you know. The fire burns it up. Burns it up. What's Spirit-filled preaching? Who are Spirit-filled people? If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Who are they? How do you know them? Christ. That's it. They believe Christ. They look to Christ. They worship God in the Spirit, not flesh. They rejoice where? Not in their anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is what Paul said. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said the fire, the Holy Spirit of God burnt up all that dross. All that dung. Burn it all up. Don't need it. Don't need it. So that's what fire does. Christ crucified. That's how you know the only thing that's left is Christ. Well, Luke. Didn't show you that, did it? Luke 12:49. Look at it with me. Luke 12:49. This is what our Lord said. 12:49. I've never heard a modern day preacher deal with this. Except true preacher. Verse 49. Christ said, I'm come to send fire on the earth. What will I if it be already kindled? Is this not the one of whom Malachi said would come, will sit as a refiner and purifier? He's like a refiner's fire. I'm going to destroy everything. But faith in me. That's good. Fire. He went on down to say, verse 51, do you suppose I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, nay, rather division. A sword. This is the sword of God. It comes out of His mouth. Christ and Him crucified. All right. Go back to our text in 1 Kings 18. I got to hurry. Oh my. Verse 26. They took their bullock and dressed it, and they began to call on Him. You know the story. Baal, hear us. There was no voice. Why? Because He has no ears but your ears, no feet but your feet. No, you know, that's it. He's Psalm 115. He has no hands, no feet, and those that have Him are just like Him, dead. No voice, nobody to answer. And so they leaped. This sounds just like a modern holiness Pentecostal meeting. Oh, they're leaping and hollering and carrying on. And Elijah, verse 27, mocked them. People say, you ought not to make fun of people. Oh, no, it's high time we did. People have mocked God and mocked His Word too long now, haven't they? We need to be the ones to start mocking. Elijah did, didn't he? We start mocking them. Barnard used to say this too. I'm trying to kill people's God. I'm trying to knock Dagon's head off. The only thing left standing is the ark. Trying to kill people's God. Elijah mocks, says, cry louder. He's a God. Maybe He's talking to somebody. He can't hear you. He can't do two things at one time. Yeah. Oh, my. Cry loud. He's a God. Maybe He's pursuing. You know what one of the old writers said? He said, this means he's using the bathroom. I like that. Yeah. Oh, my. Make fun of Him. He's no God. He needs to be made fun of. He's in a journey. He's gone somewhere. He'll be back shortly. Or peradventure, He's sleeping. What does it say about He that keepeth Israel? He never sleeps. You got to wake Him. Cry louder. So they did. And they cried and they shouted. And they cried and they shouted. And that reminds me of this present generation. They'll get all these prayer meetings together. Everybody, Barnard used to say, trying to gang up on God. We're not heard for our much speaking. And they said the same things over and over again, didn't they? We're not heard for our repetition, vain repetitions. Elijah's going to pray a short prayer. It takes about 20 seconds. God's going to hear Him and fire's going to fall. My, my. We're heard through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Him. And there was no answer. There's no answer. So midday, verse 20, or verse 30, Elijah said, now come near unto me. Oh, Elijah represents Christ throughout this, doesn't he? But Elijah is the preacher of Christ. He says this, come near unto me. Come here. And he said, and all the people came near, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones made ready. These stones were already made ready. 12? Yes, he's building on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Everything's going to be built on that. Right? This whole sacrifice stands or falls. Fire is going to fall if it's on the right altar. He built it with stones. He built an altar. How? Verse 32, in the name of the Lord. Made a trench. And it goes on to say, he did everything in order. I'm watching Elijah. You know, the false prophets are doing this and doing that and jumping and diving and hollering and screaming and carrying on and doing it. Let's try this. We'll try that. This didn't work. We'll try this. Well, here's something new over here. We'll try this. And they're doing this and doing that. Elijah said, now, come here. And very calmly, according to the Scripture today, according to the way God said to do it, according to the pattern, very calmly, resolutely, according to Scripture, starts doing things in order, the way it's supposed to be done, the way God said do it, calmly, no hurry. He that believeth will not make haste. And he does things exactly the way God says to do it.
No commotion, no carrying on, calmly.
And gets it done. Where's my glasses? Gets it all done according to the Word. And that's what he said, that they may know I'm doing this according to your Word. Stones made ready. And then he says, look at this. Fill four barrels with water, pour it on the sacrifice. Not once, not twice, but three times. Four barrels of water. You saturate the sacrifice, the altar, stones, the trench. In other words, it's all immersed in water, and you do it three times. Four barrels, three times. What's that? That's the water of God's Word. Huh? He says He sanctifies and cleanses His church with the water of His Word. And there are three that bear record, four gospel, three that bear record in heaven, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Christ died. His sacrifice was immersed in water. This sacrifice was saturated with water. Christ died. How? According to the Scripture. The whole Scripture, the whole book, Christ crucified is immersed in, saturated with water. Water. The gospel, through and through. This is the water of life. And there are three that bear record of it. Don't do it once. Don't do it twice. Do it three times. All right, here's a simple but powerful prayer. Verse 36. Came to pass the time of the offering, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and Thou hast turned their heart back again. And then, the fire fell. The fire of the Lord fell. And it says, consumed everything. Consumed it all. Oh my. As we said, if the Lord enables you by His Spirit to see that He is indeed Lord, that Christ is indeed the sacrifice, the sin sacrifice, it will consume the wood. The hardest, stoniest heart will be dust. Lick up the water that's in the trench. And God has revealed Himself. And you'll know that He is indeed God. You'll know. And all the people fell on their face. They said, here's their conclusion. The Lord, Jehovah, He's the God. The God. Christ is the way. The truth. No gray area there, is it? The life. The wisdom. The righteousness. The sanctification. The redemption. The salvation of God. Isn't it? The one, only. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. And if the fire falls, everything else is consumed. My, my. But hold on. Right. After the fire fell, the people turned from their idols to the living God. Now that God, through the preaching of the truth, the true and living God, and the Christ crucified, now that He's turned the people, and I've never made this connection before, now that He's turned them to Him from their idols, now listen to the good news. Elijah said in verse 41, get up, eat and drink. Rains are coming. It's all good from here on out. There shall be showers of blessing. As Brother Scott said, I ain't heard no bad news since I've heard the good news. Rain. Everything's a blessing sent by God. It's all rain. We were in a drought before, he said. We're under the judgment before. A famine of word, living in Lodabar, house of no bread, like old Mephibosheth. But God sent a preacher, fetched you by His Holy Spirit, made Himself known unto you. You saw the sacrifice, like Manoah and his wife. You saw the sacrifice. He's not going to kill you. He wouldn't have shown you these things. And now you know who God is, who Christ is, and everything is just blessing have to bless him. I have to get up, eat, drink, be happy. Huh? It's all good. It's all good. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. Blessings that have not yet been experienced to come. God said so. All right. Okay.